It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining us on the line is the good Dr. Watson Mbiriri to give us an answer to our question, which is, how do Christians interpret miracles in the Bible in the context of modern science? Dr. Watson Mbiriri, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to answer our questions this week.
Good afternoon to you, and greetings to all the AWR listeners out there.
Our question,
thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Our question for today is, how do Christians interpret miracles in the Bible in the context of modern science?
There are two basic groups or groupings of thoughts when it comes to this. There's, for lack of a better term or better terms, on one side, there are those who are on the more liberal side of interpretation, and that is informed by a particular approach to the Bible, which is known as the historical critical method of interpreting the Bible, which seeks to say that anything that doesn't align to modern science or our understanding of science is not credible, it's not trustworthy, it never happened. Those are figmentations of people who lived in a pre-scientific era. So basically, there are many people in that kind of group who dismiss the miracles as recorded or accounted in the Bible wholesale. That is one side. On the other, we've got people who approach the Bible on its own terms and accept that whatever the Bible is telling us is credible and it is reliable. It's exactly as it is in the Bible. That's how it happened. So this is a more conservative approach and usually grounded in the historical grammatical method. So the interpretations are usually a function of the interpretive approach. The interpretive methods that people are using, whether they are conscious of it not conscious of it.
So Christians now in modern society, faced with science that some have used to discount and disqualify some scriptural, if not almost all scriptural events, what then should Christians say in the sight of this?
First of all, what we need to appreciate is that there's no conflict between faith and science. The conflict is in the interpretive methods or assumptions that people come with to the evidence. So to interpret them one way or the other. So there's no conflict between faith and science. In fact, many of the fathers and mothers of modern science were strong Christians. Many of them were pastors, actually. When you're talking of people like Galileo Galilei in astrophysics, when you're talking of people like Gregor Mendel, the father of genetics, when you're talking of people like Nicholas Copernicus, in astrophysics as well, many of them, the list is endless. And Isaac Newton, for example, he wrote more books on the Bible than on science. In fact, whatever he did in what we call science was his attempt to appreciate and understand the power and beauty of God. And so there's no conflict between science and the Bible. There are many scientists today who are firm believers in the Word of God. And so what we need to understand is that people should not be misled by a narrative that seeks to pit the Bible against science. There's no conflict. The conflict exists in people's minds, whether understanding or misunderstandings either of science or the Bible or both. That's where the conflict emanates from. Otherwise, true science really helps us appreciate God at a much deeper level than we could if we didn't understand science.
For example, the biggest, if not the most prominent counter-argument to creationism is the most famous one, evolution. And people cite evolution as the obvious contender to a creationist theory. And yet you're saying they're all in agreement? Help me understand.
So when I'm talking about, I guess you mean by that macro evolution, which was proposed in Darwin's thesis, Charles Darwin's thesis. And there are many people, Darwinists, who no longer believe in what Darwin believed and what he wrote, because the evidence is just, you know, overwhelmingly against the position that Charles Darwin had. And so there's now what is known as neo-Darwinism, which means people are trying to adjust to what we now know and understand. For example, Charles Darwin never looked into the complexity of an animal cell through the, you know, power of a microscope. He never, probably if he had, what we know now, if he had the understanding we have now, he probably would also not agree or accept his own theory. And moreover, in his book, The Origin of Species, Charles Darwin also talks about that the weakness, the greatest weakness against his proposition of, you know, life just originating by itself and so on in the world organizing itself, the universe organizing itself. He said the greatest weakness is the lack of intermediary fossils, because his theory is that life begins in very simple forms and then it advances into more complex life forms, from single cell to multi-celled organisms. So what we would then need to find in the fossil record are the intermediary remains of these transitioning animals. We don't have that in the fossil record. They only exist in textbooks where they have been put by artists, you know, and so on, you know, like the gradual development from Homo habilis, Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens sapiens, and so on, all this kind of thing. That does not exist in the actual world. It's only in textbooks, as scientists' expressions. So Charles Darwin himself made it clear, without these intermediary species or skeletal remains or fossils, which are supposed to be embedded in the fossil record, in their absence, my theory falls to pieces. Those things have never been found. So evolution is more a religion than it is science, actually. It is more, it's a religion. People hold on to it by faith.
Yeah.
It's more of a religion. So it's a competition of religions here.
Okay.
And science is really just unfortunate to be caught up in this fight.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. Evolution is a religion. Okay. 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 Dr. Virir, I'm going to take it just like that. This is another conversation that we could have conclusively and exhaustively in 5-10 minutes. But thank you very much for your time and your insights. I'm looking forward to more of your answers as the week progresses. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you so much. Blessings and kind regards to all the listeners out there.
Thank you very much, Dr. Watson Birir, giving us some perspective on our question for today. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.